Tonight and next week, we're kind of in between series, and on Wednesday nights, I've made it my goal to just talk about two things, really, prayer and the Holy Spirit. And so we've been doing a series on praying for the lost, and so now we're going to talk for the next couple of weeks before we get into this series on hungering and desiring God. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, and particularly two topics related to the Holy Spirit. Tonight we're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, and next week we're going to talk about praying in the Spirit. And Wednesday night is our, you know, it's our prayer night. It's the night when we get together and we seek the Lord and we focus on His work in our lives and we focus on what He wants to do in our church. We focus on the work of the Holy Spirit, and it's because we want His favor. We want to experience His power in our church. And spiritual gifts is a topic that people can be very, very passionate about and sometimes have very divergent or different understandings about what spiritual gifts are and how they're supposed to be used. Sometimes people will say, well, I just wish we experienced more spiritual gifts. Or maybe they'll say, I remember a time when in our church we used to experience more spiritual gifts. But accompanying that desire for spiritual gifts, sometimes there are also inaccurate expectations about what spiritual gifts are or why we should desire them. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We desire gifts of the Spirit. We want to have an environment that's open to the work of the Spirit and to the gifts of the Spirit being used among us. But we also recognize that you can't try to manipulate the Holy Spirit. You can't try to manipulate God or the gifts or force something that isn't really genuine. And so we want to be careful of that as well. The Apostle Paul visited, and then he later wrote to a church in which it seems that the people there thought that they were very, very spiritual people. I'm talking about the church in Corinth, the city of Corinth. The book of 1 Corinthians is the book we're going to look in tonight. And this group of people, this church, seemed to think that they were so spiritual that they even in the book allude to the idea, it seems that they thought they were even more spiritual than the Apostle Paul himself. They just thought that they were really deep spiritual people. They thought that the number and the frequency of the spiritual gifts in their church, especially speaking in tongues, was the one that they were kind of enamored with. They thought that this was an indicator of just how spiritual they were as a group. But surprisingly, Paul said that their spiritual gifts were not an indication of lives genuinely led by the Holy Spirit, that they weren't actually being led by the Spirit. So take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. The word translated spiritual gifts there is really just the word spiritual. And at 1 Corinthians 14:37, Paul used the same word to refer not to gifts, but to people, spiritual people, or at least people who thought they were spiritual. 1 Corinthians 14:37 says, if anyone thinks that he's a prophet or spiritual, same word there that's translated spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12:1, anyone thinks he's spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I'm writing to you are a command of the Lord. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is undoubtedly talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit, but his opening to this chapter is just ambiguous enough that it might be taken to refer to spiritual people or spiritual gifts, or even he might have been kind of double playing it and referring to both. In other words, Paul was attempting to help the Corinthians think more clearly about what it means to be spiritual. You could even interpret what he said as, now concerning spirituality or spiritual people, I don't want you to be uninformed. They'd made some very poor assumptions about spiritual gifts and what it means to be a spiritual person. And we could easily fall into the same error. It's easy to fall into hype. It's easy to fall into some teaching you've heard. It's easy to think, you know, we want more of the Lord and then get caught up in hype that may not actually be genuine. And so we want to see what the Lord says and what His Word says about spiritual gifts. We might think that a preacher who shouts and jumps up and down is spiritual just because of his antics. Or we might attribute a lack of structure or direction in a service or clarity in a service to the Holy Spirit when really what it is negligence or laziness or a lack of preparation. We might think that if a number of people in the congregation stand up and speak, that it's the Spirit who's at work, and it very well could be. But it could also be a misunderstanding or misuse of the gifts of the Spirit. So here's the reality. If you're a believer in Jesus, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, God has given you spiritual gifts. The scripture says, we'll read it in just a moment, that he's given to each one a gift of the Spirit. You need to be open to using the gifts, and God expects us to be open to those things and to use them. But what can be used can also be abused. What can be used can be abused. And we want to use the gifts of the Spirit faithfully, and we want to avoid abuse. So while it may not be the most catchy big idea for a message, tonight's main focus is this. You need to understand spiritual gifts. And the reason that's the big idea is because that's what Paul said the big idea was. He said, concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be uninformed or ignorant. He wanted them to understand what spiritual gifts and what spiritual people really were, and that's our focus tonight. So let's start by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We read 1, so we'll read verses 2 to 7. It says this, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The first thing we might notice about this is simply that God speaks. He's not like the mute idols by which they were led to before. Or in our lives, we might not think of idols as what we were following before, though certainly we could characterize lives of sin as idolatry. But maybe you just think about the temptations, the addictions of your life prior to knowing Christ. They didn't speak to you. They pulled you, but they certainly didn't have a voice. They certainly didn't give wise direction to your life. But in contrast to that, the Apostle Paul says, God is active in your life. He is speaking into your life, and he wants to speak into his church. He's not like mute idols. And we should expect that God wants to speak to us, and he wants to speak through us. We want there to be an environment in our lives and in our church in which spiritual gifts are encouraged, and they're used appropriately in the way that God designed them to be used. And the way that Paul tells us that spiritual gifts will help us is this. He says, first of all, they're going to glorify Jesus. Spiritual gifts will always glorify Jesus. And he says this, he says, no one can ever say Jesus is accursed if they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And that seems rather obvious, doesn't it? You never say that by the Holy Spirit. But the next thing he says might seem a little strange. He says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And you might think, well, sure, anybody can utter those words, Jesus is Lord. He's not saying you couldn't open your mouth and say the words, Jesus is Lord. He's not saying an unbeliever couldn't say those words. What he's saying is you can't mean that. You can't say that with genuineness, and it certainly wasn't something that anyone in that day would have considered saying just for fun anyway, because the implication of saying that Jesus is Lord is that if you're a Jew, you've blasphemed God, because now you're saying Jesus is the Lord. And if you're a pagan, well, you've just ticked off all the other gods you've just worshipped because you've said Jesus is Lord. He's the only Lord. And so for Paul, he's saying you can't make the declaration of faith that is the saving declaration, right? This is what he says. If you confess with your mouth, what? Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the declaration, the confession that makes you a Christian, that saves you. Jesus is Lord. He said you can't make that declaration truly unless the Spirit dwells in you. So what's he saying? He's saying this, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And if you're a Christian, and since the Spirit dwells in you, the Spirit wants to speak to you, and the Holy Spirit wants to speak through you as well. Paul is saying that the spiritual gifts are intended to enhance the work of the Spirit in you when you began your life with Christ and you first said, Jesus is Lord. The point of the spiritual gifts is to emphasize that confession. Jesus is Lord. He's the only Lord. He's the only God. He's the only one worthy of exaltation. He's saying that the Holy Spirit will promote the lordship of Jesus in our lives. The spiritual gifts are not intended to promote your pride or our personal agendas. They're not intended for that at all. If our pride gets mixed up in it, then we're no longer using a spiritual gift, and we're certainly not acting like spiritual people. You're not necessarily spiritual, even if you use a spiritual gift. The Apostle Paul says they were not acting very spiritual, even though he doesn't deny they were using gifts of the Spirit. Now, there's a head scratcher, isn't it? It's possible for you to use a spiritual gift and use it in the wrong way, with the wrong heart, at the wrong time, with the wrong attitude, and as a result, you're not being the kind of person that God wants you to be and using the gifts he's given you in the manner he wants you to. The ultimate criterion of spiritual gifts is whether they promote the lordship of Jesus. And this is really important. In fact, this last year, because it was an election year, this seems to happen. Prophecy seems to increase every 4 years randomly for some reason. I'll tell you something, it's tied to the election. And we heard a lot of prophecies about an election. A lot of prophecies that, by the way, did not come true. And the scripture says that if a prophet prophesies and it doesn't happen, they're a false prophet. Or they should admit that they were wrong and make a public declaration of apology to the people that they prophesied to incorrectly. And one of the things that we need to do as Christians when we hear people prophesying things like that is we need to ask the question, does this somehow glorify Jesus, or are they just making predictions? Does this actually lift up Jesus as the Lord somehow, or is this just somebody seeking attention? Is Jesus honored by what's being done? Ask, does this have anything to do with Jesus being Lord, or is it self-serving? Or you might ask this, what does this person who's speaking this prophecy stand to gain from it? Are they gaining notoriety? Are they gaining wealth? That doesn't necessarily indicate that they're a spiritual person or that they're right. The person who's supposed to be exalted by the spiritual gifts is not the prophet. It's Jesus. In fact, read about the lives of the prophets in the Old Testament sometime. You'll realize they were not exalted people, but they were exalting the Lord. Spiritual gifts don't make you a spiritual person necessarily. And I want you to think about this too, because oftentimes you'll hear this clamoring, we want more spiritual gifts. Yes, we do. I want to affirm that. We want more spiritual gifts. We want to use as many spiritual gifts as the Spirit wants to use among us. But consider this, if it's true that spiritual gifts don't make you a spiritual person, could it also be true that spiritual gifts don't make you a spiritual church? It could. So just because there's a hubbub in a service, just because there's a bunch of people standing up saying stuff, just because there's confusion, doesn't necessarily mean that what is happening is honoring Jesus and is true to what the Lord wants to accomplish. Jesus must be exalted as Lord. Also, Paul says that spiritual gifts are for the common good, not the good of the prophet, not the good of the person speaking, therefore the common good. They're intended to build up the body of Christ. And sometimes spiritual gifts, they'll bring correction, but the purpose of that correction is always this word edification. It means building it up, making the edifice stronger, building up the body of Christ. It's to help people grow. And if they're for the common good, they need to be able to be understood. Maybe you've been in a service before where you heard somebody speak, and they got done speaking, and you're like, huh? What was that? Maybe they were using such flowery imagery that you're like, what? Huh? A flower on a dove's head with a flaming tail, and you're like, what? Right? And I'm not saying that there are never mysterious things that the Holy Spirit does, but the Apostle Paul makes absolutely clear in 1 Corinthians 12 to 14 that if the people listening to the gift of the Spirit can't understand it, he'd rather speak one intelligible word than thousands of flowery words or even words in the Holy Spirit. He'd rather it be understood. The Holy Spirit doesn't seek confusion. He wants clarity. And he wants the body to be built up. And the body can't be built up by confusion or by ambiguity or by things that nobody understands. The body is built up when the message is clear. The point of spiritual gifts is that they would be clear and they would give some encouragement. They might give praise. They might give comfort. They might give direction, but they need to be clear. 1 Corinthians 14, 7 to 8 says, if even lifeless instruments such as the flute or the harp do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? The point is this. Even instruments that are lifeless when played, they have to play distinct notes to make a melody. So in the church, a spiritual gift must have a distinct or a clear tone if it's to be applied and understood and then applied. And this doesn't mean that there will never be any mystery about spiritual gifts or things that aren't completely known, but they should at least be understandable. They should not be used as an opportunity for promoting pet peeves or expressing opinions or addressing personal offense. That's not what a spiritual gift is. It's not your chance to get back at somebody for something that they did to you. They should not be used for manipulation. If it's you deciding, hey, I think so-and-so needs to hear this, and that's your thought before you stand up, that's not the Holy Spirit. Let's be clear about that. That's you. And you shouldn't speak in that case. Spiritual gifts, also, and importantly, are not above accountability. You know, one of the things that I think is most tragic about how people often talk about spiritual gifts is, and what we see in our culture with spiritual gifts, especially, like I said, with things like prophecy broadly, is that very often there's very little accountability for people who preface what they're about to say with, "Thus saith the Lord." The reason the scripture tells us to use spiritual gifts in the church is so that there is a system of accountability to you. If you're going to speak, you're accountable first to God, but also to the people to whom you're speaking. If you're going to use a gift of the Spirit, the Bible actually tells us that those in the congregation are supposed to weigh or judge what you've said. Right? Now, that's not intended to scare you, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute, about being bold when the Holy Spirit prompts you. But it is intended to say, hey, I'm not off the hook. If I say that I'm speaking for God, like, that's not just something that I can get away with. Like, everybody's supposed to just listen to me because I said that. There is accountability. No individual freedom with spiritual gifts exists in the New Testament. One of the gifts of the Spirit, in fact, is the ability to distinguish between spirits. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10 says that God gives this spirit this gift apparently so that people who are listening can discern, is this from God or is this from this individual, from this person? And we should weigh what was said in a prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14, 29 says this. This is especially the purview of elders or of deacons, deaconesses, and pastors in the church to say, hey, if somebody's going to speak up in the congregation and people are listening, then we have to weigh and discern, is this really from the Lord or is there some correction that needs to be made here? They have to determine the legitimacy of what's been said. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 to 21 says this. It says, do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast to what is good. So we want to have an atmosphere where we don't despise prophetic utterance, where we don't quench the Holy Spirit, but that atmosphere is also an atmosphere in which the gifts are tested, in which when everybody prefaces what they're about to say with, God says, we still weigh it and say, does God really say that? Spiritual gifts are not a free-for-all, nor are they outside the control of the believer who has the gift. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 31 to 33. It says, for you can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all be encouraged, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. In other words, sometimes you'll hear people say, well, God told me to say, and I just had to interrupt, and I had to say it right now. Well, actually, the Bible says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, that you can do it in an appropriate way, at an appropriate time, and with the right heart and the right attitude, without causing confusion and dissension and division in the church. And so that's not an excuse. Saying, well, God told me, is not an excuse to do something that harms the church, that harms another believer, or is inappropriate. And so we want to expect that God is going to speak to us, but we need to remember this. I'm not the focus. You're not the focus of the gifts. Jesus is to be exalted. The body is to be built up. Those are the two things that we need to understand about spiritual gifts in this regard. Another point that I want to make in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that we find in 1 Corinthians 12, is this, that you should expect to be used by God. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, 7 again. It says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So if you think I've just given too many rules and quenched the Spirit, I want you to hear this very clearly. I believe that God gives gifts of the Spirit to each person who's born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit. I think he gives us gifts and he wants us to use them. The Holy Spirit intends to give gifts to each one of us. Manifestation isn't some weird hyper-spiritual word. We don't have to try to jump through hoops and tell, oh, manifest, we're going to manifest this or whatever the common lingo is. No. It just means that the work of the Spirit can be seen. That's all manifestation means. It means that the Holy Spirit does something where we know he's the one who is doing it, that this is God's will. It seems that spiritual gifts were being broadly practiced in the church in Corinth, and Paul didn't discourage that. And I think that sometimes what we do is that we too narrowly define spiritual gifts, and it can limit how God uses people. The danger in the Corinthian church was that they overemphasized speaking in tongues. And I think that the danger for us is that, and at least culturally, is that we often overemphasize prophecy. We think of spiritual gifts almost exclusively as prophecy. In fact, many times you'll be in a church and you might hear a message in tongues. And then the interpretation is basically a prophecy. There's no distinction between the prophecy and the gift of tongues. Or you don't even consider that maybe there are words of wisdom or words of knowledge, or that there are words of comfort, or that praise, or that a prayer could also be a gift of the Holy Spirit. But in the context of 1 Corinthians 12, we find Paul saying that all of these things can be inspired by the Holy Spirit and gifts of the Spirit. And so what we have often done is to narrowly define gifts of the Spirit in this one category of prophecy, and then we have people that think things like this. If I don't have a prediction, I don't have a spiritual gift. First of all, prophecy is not primarily about prediction anyway, but that aside, it's not the only gift either. And so what I want to encourage you with is this. The list that Paul gives in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I don't think it's intended to be exhaustive. It's just a list that gives examples, but the Holy Spirit can do all kinds of work among us. And as he inspires that work, that's a gift of the Spirit. And if it's glorifying Jesus and it's building up the body of Christ, it is the Holy Spirit's work and his gift among us. In fact, not only does Paul list all kinds of activities of the Holy Spirit that are not just prophecy, he also describes the effects of those gifts. He says that they bring upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation or comfort in 1 Corinthians 14:3. He says that they are prayer, praise, singing, and thanksgiving in 1 Corinthians 14:15 to 16. He says they can bring conviction in 1 Corinthians 14:24. And he lists teaching and revelation in 1 Corinthians 14:26. In other words, the gifts and the work of the Spirit are incredibly broad in what he wants to do. And there are a variety of gifts and a wide variety of ways that God wants to use people. And we too narrowly define often not only what gift can be used, but also when and how a spiritual gift may be used. Because we usually think of spiritual gifts pretty narrowly, as in somebody interrupts the service, stands up and says, "Thus saith the Lord," and then proceeds to tell us something. And that's pretty much the only thing that most people think of. Maybe tongues and interpretation of tongues. Those are pretty much the only two that most people ever bring to my attention when they say, "We need more spiritual gifts, Pastor Stephen." Well, what do you mean? We need more people standing up and interrupting service. Okay, well, there is an appropriate way to do that. That is certainly welcome in certain contexts, and there are appropriate ways to do that. But we should also understand those are not the only gifts that the Holy Spirit gives, and that's not the only time the Spirit can use you in a gift. He can use you in many ways. And that's one way to do it, but I think maybe another great way, I think of small groups, like connect groups that we're going to have starting up in the fall. That's a terrific place to use spiritual gifts. Now, if you're still in this like prophetic thing and you're thinking the only gift is prophecy and you're thinking it's going to be really awkward to stand up in my connect group and go, "Thus saith the Lord," you're right. That will be awkward. Don't do it. It's weird. Stop. But the Holy Spirit gives gifts to bring encouragement and consolation and to pray. He inspires prayer. And Paul says that's a spiritual gift. And if that's the case, connect groups are an awesome place for gifts of wisdom, for gifts of prayer, for gifts of faith, to believe together that God is going to do a work. You're praying with somebody. The Holy Spirit gives a gift of faith. You say, "Brother, I believe that God is going to do this work," and you help to encourage their faith. That is a gift of the Holy Spirit that Paul is. You're praying in a connect group for healing. God gives gifts of healing, Paul says. And so I'm just saying that there's an expansion that needs to take place in our thinking, not only about what kinds of gifts God gives, but when and where those gifts can be used, because in church is not the only time that those can be used. And one of Paul's many criticisms of the Corinthian believers was that they were drawing too much attention to themselves with their spirituality. And we often think that spiritual gifts have to be preceded by some grand announcement that I'm about to do something really spiritual, right? That's why we use the phrase, thus saith the Lord. We're announcing to everybody, I'm about to do something really spiritual, and you should probably listen to me, right? That's what we're doing. But Paul's critique was, you're actually not being that spiritual, and you're way overemphasizing one gift, so stop it. Stop it. And he gives that corrective. And then he tells them they ought to do this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For them, they were focused on speaking in tongues. And so he says, look, you got to get your attention someplace else. You need to focus on clarity. Prophesy. There's more clarity there. Desire, though, he says, to be used and be open to the Holy Spirit. And pray and ask God that he would use you. Seek him on that. Don't limit the spiritual gifts in your thinking. When you sense the Holy Spirit desires to use you in some way, be open, be willing, and be bold. Don't think that you have to conform to a mold that you've seen in the church. Because too often, the mold has just been that one, prophesy. And so everybody gets up and kind of learned from watching to begin the same way and to do the same thing and to use similar phrases. But if God prompts praise, if he prompts prayer, if he prompts comfort, if he prompts encouragement, if the Holy Spirit is stirring faith in you to believe with someone or to seek for healing, those are also works of the Spirit. So be obedient to those promptings. Be open to learning. And this is where I want to say, in an environment like a church, you've got to be understanding of two things. One, we're not out to get you. We're not looking to slap anybody down or anything like that. We want spiritual gifts to be exercised. We want to encourage those things. But where there needs to be correction, we'll offer it. Not in a mean-spirited way, not in a way that says, you know, you can never speak again, but in a way that helps you to learn and to grow and to shape the work that God is doing in your life to help it to mature so that you can be a more mature user of the spiritual gifts that God has given to you. And so just understand that when you use spiritual gifts in the body of Christ, there's that accountability, but don't let that scare you. Let it encourage you. Because instead of thinking, oh man, I might get this wrong, you can think, hey, if I get it wrong, somebody will point it out and I'll do better next time. If I don't get it right this time, a brother and sister of Christ, one of the elders of the church, they can gently correct me, they can point that out, and I can learn and grow, and I can do better as the Lord leads me. I can learn how he wants me to be used in this spiritual gift. So ask God to use you. Exercise the spiritual gifts with boldness, and don't be afraid. And finally, and this is the corrective that Paul gives, the big one, right in the middle of 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, and you know it, it's this, that love should be the guideline for your spiritual gifts. You should let love guide the gifts you use them. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 8, if I speak in the tongue of men and of angels but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy, doesn't boast, isn't proud, isn't rude, isn't self-seeking, isn't easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love doesn't delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. But Paul says, love never fails. And so here's the real corrective to the misuse or the abuse of spiritual gifts. Paul says, if you think you're so spiritual, but you don't love, you're nothing. You're not spiritual at all. Love is the prerequisite. And sometimes we get that backwards, don't we? We say, I just wish we'd have more gifts of the Spirit. And I get it. So I'm not criticizing you if you thought that or even said that to me. If you said that to me, I agree. I want to see more gifts of the Spirit too. I agree with you wholeheartedly. But I think we also have to have an attitude that says, I wish our church was more loving. And I want to be more loving. Because love will teach us how to use the gifts of the Spirit. Love will teach us how to do it. And so I want to encourage you with this. Seek the gifts by increasing your love for others in the church. Right? If the spiritual gifts are intended to help build up the church, and God sees, oh, you're loving people in the church, don't you think he's going to send the Holy Spirit to help empower what you're doing? And that's what a spiritual gift is. It's God empowering love for Jesus and love for the church. That's what a spiritual gift is, going beyond us for them. And then don't over-spiritualize it. This is something that I think a lot of people get caught up in. The Holy Spirit doesn't need your help to be more spiritual. He doesn't need you to convince people that he's present. He'll handle it, okay? And some people make spiritual gifts so mysterious and so out there that they just feel inaccessible. Right? I've been around evangelists who tried to push me over, wanted me to get, you know, slain in the Spirit, and I'm, you know, backing into it. I mean, I heard Greg say that about Robin. I've done that. I've been there. I don't know if it was the same evangelist, probably not, but I've been there. People who wanted to force, who wanted to make, they made it seem like spiritual gifts were so out there, there's some secret sauce to it. Listen, that's foolishness. The Bible says very clearly that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God has put his Spirit in you, and the Spirit wants to use you. Paul said it, to each one is given a manifestation, or the Holy Spirit wants to, the simple way, manifestation again, people have used that word so poorly, it sounds like one of those kooky things. Simply what he means is, the Holy Spirit wants to show up in your life to help you. He wants to help you glorify Jesus and love the body. That's what he wants to do, and he gives supernatural gifts to help you to do that. So be willing to do that. Don't feel like it's inaccessible to you. In fact, I think that sometimes we probably don't even notice how the Holy Spirit is prompting a spiritual gift because we don't think it's a spiritual gift. We've written it off. If it's not standing up and interrupting the service, it's not a spiritual gift. Well, guess what? There are many other kinds of spiritual gifts. So be open. It's not inaccessible to you. God has made it accessible by his Spirit. It requires faith. It requires obedience. It requires courage. And if you're not the most vocal person, and that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit won't empower you with gifts that will still extend his work through you. If you're not ever the person who stands up in a service and says, "Thus saith the Lord," that does not mean that you can't be used in gifts of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit still wants to work through you. Remember, the gifts listed here are representative. He says, all these gifts that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, they're not exhaustive. The Holy Spirit gives a wide variety of gifts, and every gift is valuable to the body of Christ. So be open to how the Holy Spirit wants to work in your life. This is what we need to understand, spiritual gifts. God speaks, but you're not the focus. Jesus is the focus, and the body of Christ, loving others, is the focus. You should expect to be used by God, and you should let love guide the way that you use the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to ask George if he'd come up, because we're going to just respond to this tonight, and I want to give you an opportunity to just seek God for the spiritual gifts. There's not going to be any fanfare about it. I'm not going to like go opposite of what I just said, so I'm not going to make a big hullabaloo about you seeking to use the spiritual gifts or seeking that the Lord would use you. We're just going to do what the Apostle Paul said we should do. He said this, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. So that's what we want to do. We just want to ask, God, use me. If I've misunderstood spiritual gifts, teach me, correct me. And Lord, where I've been tentative and shy, make me bolder so that I can step out in faith and use the gifts that you've given me. And pray, Lord, expand my thinking. Because I thought spiritual gifts were only for people who stood up in church and said, "Thus saith the Lord," and interrupted the pastor, and then that's kind of awkward, right? But guess what? There are other spiritual gifts. And if you don't want to awkwardly interrupt a service, hey, that's okay. Maybe God wants to use you in a different setting, in a different way, in a place, in a time that you didn't even think before the Holy Spirit could be at work through you, through faith, through love, through comfort, through praise, through prayer. You didn't even think the Holy Spirit can use me here. Just say, God, open my eyes to see all the places that you might want to use, or you might want to show a spiritual gift through me so that I can be ready. Because I don't want to just work in my own power. I want to work in the Spirit's power. I want to walk in his power. And I want to be used by you. Let's just pray that simply tonight, can't we? If you want to find a place to pray up front, you certainly can. If you just want to make that move to say, God, I'm seeking you tonight. I'm eager and I'm eagerly desiring the spiritual gifts, please find a place to pray. We'll pray with you if you'd like. If you want to kneel, if you want to sit, if you want to stand, that's fine. Just seek the Lord and let's go after him tonight and ask him, God, use me. Use me. I know you put your spirit in me. Help me to be ready to be used. Amen? Let's seek the Lord.